Most suffering is imaginary. It's 2 a.m. and I'm staring at the ceiling running scenarios. One of our biggest personal protection clients has been quiet lately. No incidents. No close calls. Nothing. And instead of taking that as a win, my brain decides to turn it into a threat. What if they wake up tomorrow and think, nothing ever happens? Why am I spending all this money on security? Then my brain reaches further back. A small incident from months ago. Long resolved. Fully remedied. But now, at 2 a.m., it mutates. What if something like that resurfaces? What if it's bigger this time? What if it costs us the contract and none of this is happening? The client hasn't called. The incident didn't resurface. The contract isn't in jeopardy. And the irony is almost cruel. The very reason nothing ever happens to our client is because of the security we provide. Their safety is our product. But at 2 a.m., my brain doesn't care about irony. It just writes horror fiction and charges me real cortisol for the privilege. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Seneca wrote a letter to his friend Lucilius and said something that hit me like a freight train the first time I read it. There are more things likely to frighten us than there are to crush us. We suffer more often in imagination than in reality. Read that again. Most of our suffering doesn't come from things that are happening. It comes from things we imagine might happen, or things we remember happening, replayed and inflated until they feel fresh again. The past already happened. The future hasn't arrived, but your brain treats both as if they're real, right now, in this moment. And it turns out Seneca wasn't just being philosophical, he was being scientific. Researchers at Penn State University ran a study on people diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. They had participants record every worry every day for 10 days. Then they tracked the outcomes over 30 days to see how many of those worries actually came true. 91.4% never happened. And of the small percentage that did, most turned out better than expected. Think about that. Over 9 out of 10 things you lose sleep over will never materialize. Your brain is essentially a fiction writer with an anxiety disorder, churning out worst-case screenplays that never get produced. But you still feel every scene as if you're living it. Psychologists call this anticipatory anxiety, the act of bleeding before you are cut. Your brain writes the wound before the knife even exists. Now here's what makes this dangerous and not just uncomfortable. When you're living in imagined suffering, you're not solving anything. You're just marinating in emotion. And emotion without action is just corrosion. My 2 a.m. spiral about losing a client? There's actually a reasonable action buried under all that anxiety. Leverage creativity. Show additional value. Find new ways to demonstrate that our presence is the reason nothing bad happens. That's a solution. That's productive. But at 2 a.m., I'm not doing that. I'm just rehearsing disaster. The difference between worry and preparation is a plan. Worry loops. Preparation moves. And this is where it gets personal for me as a parent. Because here's the thing we don't talk about enough. We teach our kids early that there are no monsters under the bed. We sit on the edge of their mattress, turn on the light, look underneath and say, "See? Nothing there. It's all in your imagination." And then we spend the rest of our adult lives lying awake, terrified of monsters that don't exist. We tell our children that the imaginary isn't real. Then we model the exact opposite. And kids are more intuitive than we give them credit for. They absorb what we demonstrate, not what we explain. They don't hear our words as loudly as they feel our energy. Watch a 2-year-old fall flat on their face. If you rush over in a panic, "Oh no, are you okay?" That kid is going to cry every time, 100%. Not because they're hurt that badly, but because your reaction just told them they should be scared. But if you stay calm, shrug, and say, "Whoops, you're all right. You're tough like me." Most kids, unless they're genuinely injured, will dust themselves off and keep going. They learn that certain incidents, even mixed with pain, just happen. And it's okay to move on. Your reaction writes their operating system. Panic teaches panic. Calm teaches resilience. And if we're not careful, we raise children who grow up to be adults lying awake at 2 a.m., suffering over things that were never real to begin with. So what's the solution? it starts with something deceptively simple: awareness. Catching yourself in the act, recognizing the fiction as fiction while your brain is still writing it, not suppressing the thought, just labeling it. Is this real? Or is my brain writing a screenplay again? I'm not going to pretend that awareness makes the worry disappear. It doesn't always. I still have those nights. But the difference is, I've learned to catch myself faster. The spiral still starts. It just doesn't run the whole reel anymore. From there, focus on solutions, not emotions. If the worry points to something actionable, act. If it doesn't, it's fiction. Put down the script. Seneca also wrote something else that I think about more than I probably should. We are more often frightened than hurt, and we suffer more in apprehension than in reality. The monsters aren't under the bed. They never were. We just forgot the lesson we've been teaching our kids all along.